Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fair and Morning Show, Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Doran Dickerson here with you. Nicholas Harry Callis is here as well. Pat Bostick will join the show at 8 a.m. We also have Jason Mackey. He's in Ireland. He will join the show at 7 a.m. Crowley will call into the show. We'll catch up with Adam Crowley. He is in Ireland at 8 a.m. Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette. He is in Ireland. Everybody's in Ireland except for us. It feels like. That's fine. Hopefully everybody's having fun. But Chris Carter will join the show at 8 a.m. We have Lee Sterling as we always do on Fridays. We have Odds and Ends as we always do on Fridays. Pat Bostick, like I said, joined the show at 8 a.m. He's going to stay for the duration of the show all the way till 10 a.m. It's going to be a nice show today. But right now, I am going to dedicate this hour to two people. Two people that we, as Steeler fans, and you as Steeler fans, probably wanted to hear from before they headed to Ireland. And that is defensive coordinator Terrell Austin and offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. I feel like that there's a lot of questions out there. A lot of questions on both sides of the football. And we want to hear from the people who are putting the things together. And they spoke yesterday. And they spoke about many different things. And I pulled two things for each guy that I thought is most beneficial to the show and learning where they're at as an offense or as a defense. There's so many components to having a successful football team, honestly. There's so many components, as you know. A lot of you that are listening have played football at some sort of level, whether it was youth, middle school, high school, college, pro, if you had the chance to play pro. You know what it takes to have a successful football team. There's a lot of different components, but then you have the top couple components that are must in football to be successful. Now, some of the other components are what? Tackling, you know, blocking, catching. You got to have speed to play football or to have a good team. You got to have attention to detail. You got to know what you're doing when you're playing football. You got to be on the same page whenever you're playing football. You got to have the grit. You got to be in shape. Those little things that if you want to have a successful team, not just successful players, but a successful team, offense, defense, special teams, those little components all have to come together. But the top components in football, and to me, one of the biggest components you have to have is communication at every single level. At every single level, you have to be able to communicate. That is the biggest thing of playing football at a high level, is understanding your assignment, understanding your teammate's assignment on your side of the ball, and putting it together to execute a play or a down or to create a turnover or to create a big play, a splash play, a touchdown, or to get points. It's one thing for the coordinator to communicate to, let's say, the middle linebacker, the red dot, right? The red dot. It's one thing for the coordinator to communicate to the quarterback. But what is it worth if you're not going to communicate on the field whenever you're trying to do your assignment because you all have to work together? That seems to be a big issue with the Pittsburgh Steelers and has been for a little while now. Even when Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I'm talking about on the defensive side of the ball to start, even when Minkah Fitzpatrick was here, the communication issues were awful. these first batch of games, the communication issues have risen. That cannot happen if you want to have a successful football team. Everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to talk. Everybody has to know what's going on. Everybody has to understand the game plan and to project that out to your teammates, whether it's defensive line, linebackers, or defensive backs. It's very frustrating, you know, even being a former player or like you out there, like I said, some of you have played football. It's frustrating to watch the Steelers sometimes on defense because it's like, how do you guys not know what you're doing? How do you not know what the coverage is? How do you not know where to align? Alignment is simple. Alignment is important. I mean, I coached youth football for my son's team yesterday. All we did was talk to them about communication. And they're 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. It's important at every level. That's how you have a successful team, is to communicate. And Terrell Austin spoke about that yesterday, about the issues of the defense communicating.
Yeah, I think every weekend we get to work and every weekend we get to play. I think that's what that's an opportunity for us to get better and get more familiar with each other in the heat of battle. You know, there's certain things that go on in camp, and that's good. But until you're in the game and you see how guys react and go in the game and learn them in the game, now that we're starting to get those game snaps under our belt, kind of see us getting a little bit better. We got a long ways to go, don't get me wrong. But I feel we can get there because I think I like the talent and the work ethic of the group.
Now, I said yesterday that I do believe that what Mike Tomlin said the other day about the injuries playing a part in the communication failures. I do believe that because there are a lot of new pieces on this defense. There's, you know, Jalen Ramsey, you got Darius Slay, you have Chuck Clark, you got Juan Thornhill, you got Jabril Peppers. You got a lot of new players on the back end, at least. And Deshaun Elliott has been out. He's the only mainstay that was here last year. Other than Joey Porter Jr., he's been out as well. But the only mainstay at safety, a position where you could kind of guide people and set people up and put people in position, that understands probably the defense the best, right? But at the same time, you have to prepare for these issues. And this is where I ding the defense. This is where I ding the Steelers, Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, is that you have to prepare for injuries to happen in training camp. So the combinations, and I'm not saying that they didn't do this, but maybe they didn't harp on it enough, with the combinations of guys that are in the game that do understand what they're doing, that can help other guys understand what the defense is. So Deshaun Elliott probably gets all the first team reps in training camp at strong safety. He's probably the one that's lining people up. Can you find that next guy that can be the guy that goes in and actually takes Deshaun Elliott's spot with the first team to help everybody else get aligned? It's just, it's very, very frustrating to watch at times. It is. And then it's a trickle-down effect. Because once the defensive backfield is out of position, then the linebackers are like, well, what are we doing? Because you know the linebacker's set to play. So Patrick Queen, the red dot, he's going to be like, right, right, left, left. That's where the strong side is. You get lined up. But then in the NFL, like, you're doing different things. You're showing different blitzes. You're showing that you may drop into a different zone. You may show that it's zone coverage, but actually it's man coverage. And you have to have the right alignment to be able to execute the plays. There's so much stuff that goes on, you know, on the defense and the offense before the play actually happens. But you have to understand that you can do all those things. It's called window dressing. It's you're trying to fool the offense, or you're trying to fool the defense. You're going to, hey, we're going to do this, but we're actually going to do that. It's one thing to be able to do that and to be successful at that part, but you still have to execute the play. You still have to end up in the spot you need to be in. Now, guys like to take chances, and we've seen over the years, and I think brought it up yesterday. Troy Polamalu was the, I guess, epitome of taking chances, but his guys knew exactly where he was going to end up and where they needed to be to cover where he was, or to cover themselves. That's understanding your team. That's communicating. That's understanding the defense. The Steelers just aren't there yet. I'm not saying that they can't get there, but they're not there yet. They have a player like Troy Polamalu that likes to take chances in Jalen Ramsey. But it's the surrounding cast outside of him whenever he does take his chances. And if you're all in on Jalen Ramsey as a defense and as a defense coordinator, if you're all in on Jalen Ramsey taking chances, then you have to get your other guys prepared for what he's going to leave behind. Like I said, I'm not saying that the Steelers defense can't get to a point where they are communicating at a high level. It's just not there yet for Jalen Ramsey or some of the players on defense to take the chances that they do because they aren't protected for the spots that they give up whenever they do the take when they do take the chances. And I don't know how much that's happened. I'm sure that it's happened multiple times this year. I mean, I've seen Jalen Ramsey blow coverages, but was that his fault? Was somebody supposed to take the guy into the next zone and Jalen Ramsey thought that and he was going to take a chance on, you know, maybe undercutting a route? I don't know. I would assume so. That's stuff that you work on day one. Or you just can't do it. You just tell Jalen Ramsey, hey, you have to play this position for now until we can get to a level where we can communicate. Very, very frustrating. I don't know if this game is going to be the game where they figure it out. You're playing against the best receiver in the game, arguably. You're playing against a backup quarterback who can play quality football at this level, has shown it throughout his career, is a veteran, knows where he wants to go with the football. You know, you're playing against a receiver that is coming off of suspension, fresh legs, as we call it, that had a pretty decent season last year in Jordan Addison. TJ Hawkinson, a really good tight end. They have a good offensive line, and they have a good schemer. So my point for this segment is, yeah, communication issues have been off for the Steelers, but I think that you almost have to go broad strokes to make sure the communication is at a high level on Sunday because this team will beat the bleep out of you on offense. Big play after big play after big play. This is not the game to take chances and to have communication failure. If the communication has to be easy, if it has to be broad, that's what you have to do in a game like this because this team will whoop your butt. They absolutely will. This segment and this hour is dedicated to the coordinators of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Terrell Austin had thoughts on a position group that has been crushing them for the last couple years, and especially this year, and it could be the same situation on Sunday. We'll hear from him again coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dickerson, Callis here with you. Callis, how you doing? Doing all right?
Yes. More energy now.
I don't know
what happened. Yeah.
Why? Did you have some caffeine?
Took a nap, too.
You took a nap?
I can't. So you don't notice. This is good.
I do notice. I just don't say anything.
Okay, good. Well, I feel better now.
So, like what? You took like a 2-minute nap?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Goes a long way, just resting your eyes.
Yeah, I know that. That does. Especially whenever you wake up early. Wow. No caffeine today, though?
No, I'm getting off the caffeine. The sugar was starting to get to me. I'm feeling a little, my stomach hurts. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better, and I'm glad that you have energy.
I'm on the protein powder, though. That's helping.
What flavor?
Today I got pineapple orange and cran grape.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nice. How much protein's in the powder? You don't know?
I don't, but it's right here. 15 grams.
Okay. All right. Good. It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. If you go back the last 25 years, or the last 25 plus, I'll probably use that area to start. 25 plus. And you think about football. And you think about the evolution of football. A lot of things have changed, right? I mean, the running backs have changed. The running game has changed. The passing game has changed. It's more of a passing league now compared to when we watched football in the late 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, you had the big backs. You had like the Eddie George and Jamal Lewis. You had the 245-pound Jerome Bettis. 245-pound back, and you had a fullback. You know, football has changed a lot in the last 25 years. But I am going to argue, and when Pat Bostic comes on, I'm sure he'll argue something different. So I'll use this as my argument crutch right now. I'm going to argue maybe outside of quarterback. And honestly, whenever I talk to Pat Bostic, I'm going to say just as much as quarterback. But let's, for this sake, outside of quarterback, there's not one position on the field that has evolved more than the tight end position. There's not one position on the field that has evolved more. Now, the only reason I put the quarterback in the conversation because now you have the mobile quarterback and more of the mobile quarterback. Everybody that plays quarterback in this day and age can run to a certain extent. Not everybody is Lamar Jackson, but everybody that starts in the league or is in college football now can move to get at least 10 yards to get a first down if they need to. There's not the pocket passer anymore. That position has evolved a lot, and obviously the passing has evolved a lot, and the approach to offense has, it's more through the lens of, hey, we're going to throw the ball, we're going to go through the lens of the quarterback more than, you know, the physical part of playing football like it was 25 years ago. But to me, nothing has evolved more, not one position has evolved more than the tight end position. Tight ends back 25 years ago, they'd catch some passes, but they were the big, kind of goonish, 6'6", 265-pound blocking tight end. Hey, we'll toss it to the tight end whenever nobody thinks they're going to get a pass, like Todd Heap was actually pretty good, like a Mark Bruner. Mark Bruner was pretty good too, one of my favorites growing up, but the type of tight end has changed. Now you have the more athletic tight end, almost like the basketball player, more of a flex tight end, the Travis Kelce's, the George Kittle, who can do multiple things. He's one of the rare breeds of tight end in the NFL that can really block. But you have athletes at tight end now. Nothing has changed more, in my opinion. Not one position. They can affect every single game. They can affect anything that you want to do on offense. They are asked to do every single thing that you could possibly do on offense except for throw the football. They're asked to pass protect like a running back. They're asked to pass block like an offensive lineman. They line up next to offensive linemen. They're asked to run slot routes like slot receivers. They're asked to run outside routes like outside receivers. They're asked to run across the middle. They're asked to run on the outside. They're asked to, you know, win on man-to-man coverage. They are kind of the secondary quarterback of the offense, and I'm not just saying this because I'm biased. I'm saying this because that's the case. So whenever you go against a team that has an effective tight end, that has to be your starting point as a defense, in my opinion. That has to be your starting point. Like, where is this guy lining up? How many times is he going to motion? Who is he motioning to get his route to be run on? Is it a linebacker? Is it a safety? Do we like that matchup, or do we want to alter our defense where we have somebody else in that position that has to take the tight end that can actually take us out of this football game? Tight ends are going to want to run across the middle. Guys are more athletic now. They almost run like receivers. So we kind of need we have to have a bigger athletic guy to cover them. Tight ends can wreck a game nowadays in football. I think a lot of people understand that. But the Steelers seem to have an issue more than any other team in the NFL of covering tight ends. And it's been like that for years now. Years. The middle of the field is always open for the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it was Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, whoever's defense it is, it's always open. And last week, I think Hunter Henry had like 7 receptions for the New England Patriots, the tight end. This has been an issue for a long time, and it's a I feel like the Steelers will say, and Terrell Austin, we're going to hear from him in a second, he's going to say that they have a fix for it, but I don't believe it at all because it's just been a trend for the Steelers for so long. And this Sunday could be just as bad as they've seen in a long time with T.J. Hockenson. Here's Terrell Austin talking about the tight ends and how the utilization of them has been killing the defense.
We always recognize the tight end and the chips, and there are certain things that we'll do that we'll say, hey, listen, if we're that chip happens, we may send a guy and try to get to the quarterback before he gets has an opportunity to get out. That's some calculated risk that sometimes we'll take. You know, there were some times that he was open, and a couple things were the two touchdowns he had were both we had some coverage issues. And it wasn't that he was just, you know, spectacular in terms of running great routes and all that other stuff. That was a good scheme. They got us on that. And you give him credit for having that. But I think we'll be fine in terms of guarding tight ends and getting them after chips. And I feel confident that, you know, the leak out stuff and the different things that happened last week hopefully won't occur again.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. See, like, yeah, I don't buy it because it's been happening for so long. It's been happening for so long. And whenever you have so many threats like the Minnesota Vikings do, somebody like T.J. Hockenson who can run really good routes, who is a tough tight end, he's gonna eat on Sunday. So it's almost like pick your poison. Like, you're going to be focused so much on Justin Jefferson that T.J. Hockenson is going to be open. And that's just kind of the case for the Pittsburgh Steelers for so long. I don't know how they fix it. I don't know what they choose to do. But I'm just preparing you right now that that is going to be the case on Sunday. T.J. Hockenson, if you are a betting person, I would bet all his over props. They watched the film. They saw what Hunter Henry did. They watched the film. They see what happened last year whenever the Steelers faced Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce and Dallas Goedert. They don't have a fix for it. They can say they do. They don't. And it is very, very worrisome because it's been a trend for so long for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This Steelers talk on the Fan Morning Show is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, super negative. I'm just reacting to the comments of Terrell Austin. I'm reacting to what has happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what their issues really are. It's communication, as we said in the first segment, and it is the tight ends that just take advantage of these defenses. And I don't see that getting fixed this week. It may get combed over a little bit. It may get, you know, tightened up a little bit during the bye week, but this has just been a trend for so long that you're going to tell me now it's going to get fixed? I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Dedicating this hour to the Steelers offensive coordinators, we'll hear from Arthur Smith coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Steelers have a lot of issues. We know that. Mike Tomlin said it was a great win against the New England Patriots. I tend to believe him there. I tend to be on board with a great win. Not like really, really great. It didn't look great. But to leave an AFC opponent stadium and to win on the road early on in the season is a great win for what you're going to embark on your schedule later on in the year. Like, these games are so important for the Steelers to win, for them to have any type of semblance of chance to do anything this season outside of the regular season. Like, you have to win these games. You have to win. You have to beat New England. Whatever it looks like, you got to beat them. So I tend to believe them that it was a good game, but they still have their issues. That's why it wasn't a great game, in my opinion. I can see where he thinks it's a great game. I guess, you know, he can have that one, but at the end of the day, you got to win. You got to win games like that. But you still have to work on the things that are really holding you back. And there's a lot of things, you know, offensive line play, you know, even deep shots, things of that nature. There's, you know, tight end play. There's so many things that the Steelers need to work on outside of Aaron Rodgers that they are not even close to being a complete team to actually be competitive whenever it matters, whenever they have to play the Baltimore Ravens. Even though the Ravens record is a losing record right now, the Baltimore Ravens only lost two games to Super Bowl contenders by, what, 8 points, 9 points, 10 points, something like that. I mean, it was very close. They lost those games. I get it, and it's good for the Steelers at this point in the season for the record-wise, but they're still the Baltimore Ravens. They still will come in here and hang 40 on you if they want to. So there's a lot of things the Steelers need to button up. And one of those things is setting the tone. And whenever, if you think about football, like, setting the tone is the offensive line. Setting the tone is the run game. It's getting those chunk yards. It's getting those explosive yards. That opens everything up for the offense. If Jaylen Warren can get going, Aaron Rodgers' job is that much easier. DK Metcalf's job is that much easier. You soften up the defense, and they cannot get it going at all. There was, what, one series maybe last game? One or two series where the run game looked decent, and that was it. Then it got bottled up. That's a significant issue whenever you have a 41-year-old quarterback that you're basically asking to win every single game for you. That is the most significant issue they have on offense right now. I think you all know that outside of the offensive line, but it goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. They cannot run the football worth anything. Here's Arthur Smith talking about the run game failures.
You know, you come out, right? I believe we had 30 possessions the first half. First two, get 14 points, get in a rhythm. Then we missed that third down. And they had that long drive, I believe, right? And then we got the interception, we took a knee. So it wasn't a lot of possessions. So, you know, it was good to see. You know, we got to continue that. I think on our opening drives, you know, I think we've got 17 points, which is, you know, big for us. Now we got the start of the third quarter. It's always like, I always say this, like, whatever it is, like, your focus, you know, those years, that's what you've always got to be. There's always something to fix, whether you're rolling and, you know, everything seems to be clicking, or that's the week to week, you know. So there's came out those two drives, felt better. I think even some of the runs we didn't hit, if you just look at the combination blocks, that's what's exciting. I mean, you know, we had a run, I think, that ended up getting bounced. That wasn't those are things you got to work on. But at the point of attack, you know, Troy and Mason, I mean, that's about as good as a duo block you're going to see. We just got to continue to keep working. And then, obviously, in the third quarter, we stalled out. Then we had the penalties. I mean, we were just off track. And, you know, and then the fourth quarter, we did run the ball late, you know, that last drive. And we chewed up a lot of the clock. So, you know, like, you give up on it just because you stall out in the third quarter. And so we weren't just an obvious one-dimensional offense. And we chewed up the clock. And they got us to a third down. And Calvin made the play. So those guys, and that's the whole key to this thing, is week to week. You got to have the guys, you got to be objective. You can't be delusionally optimistic. You can't be, you know, overly cynical. You just got to be objective and realistic and know on this journey, the best teams are the ones that improve. And then we got the right guys, which is why we've been up, you know, those two road games we've won. The guys have stood up when it's critical.
Listen to the Fan Morning Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I agree with him to a certain extent, and, you know, you don't give up on the run game even though it gets stalled out, but there is a point where you have to give up on the run game and you got to focus on winning the football game. And if you feel that you could take advantage of a team with your quarterback and throwing the football, that's what you got to do. But establishing the run early is going to help you do that. And if it's late and you're still trying to pound the run, and you know the defense isn't giving anything up, then it's time to abandon it. But I think establishing the run game starts early in a football game. It starts early, and then you end a game with establishing the run if you're up and you're winning a football game. That's, to me, how a run game should work. You establish a run early, and then you go to your passing. And you take your shots, and you score some points. Then you sprinkle in the run game a little bit more to try to hit some big plays in the run game. And then you close the game out if you're winning the football game with the run game so you could chew the clock up. But there has to be an abort button whenever it's just you're hitting your head off of a wall. And sometimes the Steelers and Arthur Smith, they do that. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like you want to establish a run game, but you also don't want to just keep hitting your head off of a brick wall every single time, and then now you're three and out, your defense is on the field all the time. One of the biggest issues on the Steelers' offense is the offensive line. It is the running game, as you all know that. Can they get it going this Sunday? Maybe. I have a lot more faith in that than the Steelers' defense fixing their issues. Just being honest. Coming up next, I talked about a position earlier that has evolved over the years. But has it evolved in the Steelers' offense? We'll talk about that next. We'll hear from Arthur Smith as well. The 50-Minute Mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Thorne Dickerson here with you. Nicholas Harry Callis. I talked earlier about the tight end position evolving the most out of all the positions in football in the last 25 years. I'm sure that there's an argument to be made about the quarterback position, but if you look around and you look at the tight ends that were on teams 25 years ago compared to the tight ends now, it's a totally different game. They're asked to do totally different things. The responsibilities are different. They are more of a versatile piece than they were 25 years ago. 25 years ago, tight ends were just these big guys that could block, basically extra linemen that could go out for a pass every once in a while, but they were used more in the run game than the passing game. Now it's the roles have flipped. Now you have more of the athletic, bigger receiver tight ends in the NFL, and they can wreck a game. And Arthur Smith, a guy that I've played for, who was my assistant tight ends coach in Tennessee, he loves tight ends, as we all know, as we all think we know. But the utilization of the tight ends of the Pittsburgh Steelers has been very low this year. Very low. You trade for Jonnu Smith, a guy that is a do-it-all tight end. He has about, 65 yards on the season. You had Pat Freiermuth, the tight end, the number one tight end that you paid. He has around 65 yards on the season. Darnell Washington, who is the best blocking tight end in the NFL, who's 6'7", that can run, that can catch. He doesn't have a catch outside of the two-point conversion he had. Connor Hayward only has one catch. So you have four tight ends that could do so many different things on your roster, but you're just not in the position to be able to use them, or you just can't fit them in into the game plan. And maybe it has to do with what we talked about yesterday a little bit of keeping them in, having them chip block, having them in for protection because your offensive line is so bad and you want to protect Aaron Rodgers. Okay, but it is total opposite of what I thought the season was going to start out like with that tight end position. Very, very little production from the tight ends. Here's Arthur Smith on where the tight ends are as we currently sit.
In terms of what? You're talking about the number of catches?
Yeah, catches, yards.
Yeah, again, it goes back to everything. I mean, we've won two games. Done a good job scoring in the red zone. That needs to continue. We need more possessions. That'll naturally work itself out. So that's, you look at numbers. Again, you can manipulate stats however you want. And there's some that are, that are pretty meaningful, and usually you're going to win games if you don't turn the ball over. You win possession downs, score in the red zone, and it's about situational football. So those are the most important ones. I mean, you get into total yards, you look at it, the totality of the season. Now, something that's never made sense to me, especially on defense, is why is the total yards number one defense? If you're really good, you're going to give up yards because you got a lead and people are playing soft, dink and dunk, two-minute offense, which can pad stats. Like, it's not impressive to me if a team's 4-12 and a guy throws for 4,000 yards. I mean, credit to him, but I'm just saying, if you really look at it in that space, and the same thing like total yards, I mean, look around the league. I mean, there's been teams that got total yards and not scoring very much. And so it's everything you got to work on. You obviously want to be the best at everything, but
that's part of this journey. And you look at the totality of it, and it's, we need to continue the things that are going well, and there's a lot of things we got to improve on, and that's our charge. And that's what excites me about the group we have. You got the right guys. You get in those tough moments. You stall out. You know, we didn't have the ball for a while, and, you know, but at the end of the day, when we started hot, obviously we were cold, and they, you know, bowed up, and we were at our best when we needed to be, and it was the same thing in New York. So that's encouraging. And then when you come in here on, you know, Mondays, and then you go back to work on Wednesdays, those guys are, you're looking at the progress, and you want to call it the process, and not so much comparative results. You get it down that thing, and you're going to get a bunch of selfish guys. You're going to get selfish coaches, and they can call the game just to pad your stats. But that does not, that's not going to help us win a championship. And then what is our charge?
Like, I'm not somebody that is just throwing the Steelers out right now as a team. I acknowledge that they have a lot of issues, but I think that some of these issues are fixable. I just don't know how they're going to fix them, one, and when they're going to fix them, two. Now, the bye week is next week after this game, but that is going to fix and maybe tighten some things up. But I look at somebody like Jonnu Smith, who had his most productive year last year in Miami as a tight end. He had 88 catches for like an almost 900 yards. And then you come into this season, he's in an offense that he's somewhat familiar with because he's been with Arthur Smith for so long and multiple stops that he's had. And he has 65 yards and no pass, I think, is, well, maybe one pass. But other than that, all passes are underneath, what, 10 yards or screenplays. They're just dump downs. It is it's very interesting. Very interesting that you know, you get a productive player like that and he hasn't been productive this far this season. Now, it could change, like I said, so I'm not totally down and out on the Steelers. I think they could change some of these things and fix some of these things, but right now it just hasn't looked great. It hasn't looked like we probably expected it to look like. Coming up next, Jason Mackey, he's in Ireland. He will join the Fan Morning Show. We'll ask him what's going on, the atmosphere and the excitement around Steelers, Vikings, in Dublin. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.